Will you turn with me once again, please, in God's holy word to the book of Isaiah and to chapter 52. Isaiah and the chapter 52. You find my text for this evening in the third verse of this chapter. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Our text for this evening, in its first application, is of course to the children of Israel and their captivity in the land of Babylon. Of course, the text is a prophecy because this captivity had not yet taken place. It did take place in the process of time. Israel was warned that it would take place, and it did take place in the fullness of time. Because of Israel's sin, they were carried away captive into Babylon. But the prophet, God speaking through the prophet, made it clear that their captivity in Babylon would not be forever, it would be for a brief time. And there, the righteous amongst them, as we learned this morning, would mourn and walk in darkness and have no light. They would be greatly distressed and troubled because of the state of their nation, because of the captivity into which they were brought. But that would not last forever. The light would dawn on them again. God would remember them, and God would bring them out of their captivity. In this text, we find that the prophet asks them, or God, through the prophet, asks them, really, what have they gained by selling themselves into slavery and into sin? For this, thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. So they sold themselves into this captivity. It was their own fault they went into this captivity. It was because of their sin they went into this captivity. It was because they loved sin and followed sin and turned their back on God. And this was the consequence of their rebellion against God, of their embracing sin. This was the price they had to pay, if you like. They sold themselves into Babylon, sold themselves into sin. But what was it at the end of the day? What good did they get out of it? What did they reap as a result of them selling themselves into sin? The Lord says, you sold yourselves for naught, for nothing. In reality, you got nothing. Nothing. Nothing but bondage. Nothing but the loss of their freedom and the loss of their liberty. And hard service in the land of Babylon. They thought they were going to get a lot more. Sin promises a lot of things. But at the end of the day, they were not benefit by selling out to sin and to the devil. They ended up in Babylonish captivity. So we find that the Lord speaks of them selling themselves into bondage and slavery. Then in a striking, ironical parallel, Isaiah goes on to say that as they became their enemies' servants, without them paying any price for them, without their enemies paying any price for them, so Isaiah says, their enemies would release them without demanding any price or reward. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. You sold yourselves for nothing, but you will be redeemed without money, without you paying anything for it, without you contributing to the price of your redemption. You will be redeemed without money, without price. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 13, King Cyrus is represented as doing just that. In this verse, God says of Cyrus, I've raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, the text in its first application refers to Israel, to them selling themselves into Babylon because of their sins, and God's ultimate redeeming them out of Babylon, bringing them out. As they sold themselves for naught, so he would bring them out of his own grace and mercy without them paying or contributing anything, even in part, to their redemption and their deliverance. And I don't doubt that this text has an even further application to Israel. But we're not going into prophecy tonight. But I don't believe God has finished with Israel. And once again, Israel has sold themselves into slavery and into bondage by their sin and departing from the living God. But the day is coming. And I think this chapter in all of Isaiah is full of similar portions and verses declare that Israel has a glorious future when God will gather them again unto himself. However, our text for this evening has an even higher and greater, more spiritual application for us today. In it, we find God sets forth our spiritual captivity and our spiritual redemption. You see, dear friends, the Bible teaches us that every one of us are taken captive by the devil and his will. Every one of us, without exception. Paul, writing to Timothy in his second epistle, chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, says, And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. All men, notice that. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so all men are the devil's captives according to the word of God. We're born in sin and we are caught in the snare of the devil, and the devil has control over us, and we are in captivity to the devil and to sin. That's how it is with all men without Christ. That's how we were before the redemption wrought by our Savior for us. And my dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, that's how you are. You tonight, whether you acknowledge it, whether you realize it or not, you are the captive of Satan. But bless God, there is redemption without money and without price. We have this set forth in Isaiah 55, verse 1, where the invitation goes out to all Satan's slaves who long for deliverance. Ho, everyone, everyone, everyone that thirsteth. That's all that is required. If you thirst after God, or thirst after salvation, if you thirst and desire after righteousness, and if you desire and thirst to be delivered from your captivity, come ye to the waters. That's the waters of life. And he that hath no money, he that has nothing to contribute to his salvation, not just temporally and materially, but in any way, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So we're all by nature sold into sin, the captives of the devil, but we all can be set free and will be set free by God if we come unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord and receive the redemption that is in him. So we are then all by nature slaves of the devil. We're held captive by the devil and his will. And this is a very real captivity. It's very real. Sometimes we imagine because we can't see, things are not real. Some people will not believe in anything that they cannot see, taste, feel, or detect by the senses. But the Bible makes it clear that every son of Adam's fallen race is born in the domain and the dominion of the devil. They are his subjects, whether they like it or not, or whether they realize it or not. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this, that the spirit of evil worketh in all men, and worked even in the believer prior to their conversion. The devil has taken us all captive. And the chains with which he binds us are our own sinful passions and lusts. By this means, Satan leads us about as you would lead a bull about by the nose. That's an impressive thing to see. A massive big bull, a hill of muscle, led along sometimes a wee lassie, because it has a ringless nose, and the wee lassie is leading the bull along. Well, that's just what the devil's doing with us. He's leading us by the nose, and he leads us by our sinful passions, our sinful desires. These passions are strong things. Some people imagine they're easily broken, but they're not. Our sinful passions and sinful habits are very hard to break. And surely anybody who thinks and considers himself will have to acknowledge that. We find it hard to break bad habits. As a matter of fact, these sinful desires are unbreakable by us. We haven't the strength to break them. And by these sinful desires, Satan brings us about and leads us about like a bull by the nose. Whosoever committeth sin, says the Bible, is the servant or the slave of sin. And this, of course, is the worst kind of slavery. It's very real, and it's the worst kind of slavery. Slavery in all its forms is a terrible thing. Terrible thing. But you know, slavery is no new thing. Slavery is not something that commenced in the 17th or 18th century. Slavery is nearly as old as mankind. All around the world, men have been making other men their slaves. Their slaves. In every nation, every country, prior to their being even formed as nations, they were taking one another as slaves. The Roman Empire had so many slaves of all nations, all colors, that they were afraid of their slaves. Because there were so many of them, they were afraid that the slaves would rebel, as indeed they did, but they were defeated by the Romans. But they were afraid that the slaves would take over the empire. So slavery is as old as mankind practically. And it's a wicked and it's a terrible thing, slavery, in all its forms. Terrible thing that a man should be bought and sold like cattle, that his family can be broken up and sold to the highest bidder, that men, women, human beings should be treated like animals. It's an awful, wicked thing. And when we read of these things and the doings of slaveholders, we are naturally grieved and upset and feel that that was and is a terrible, terrible wickedness that these people were guilty of. But let me tell you this, bad as this kind of slavery is, slavery to the devil is worse. If slaves in the past have had bad masters, the sinner has the worst of the bad masters. The foulest of the foul of masters. He is indeed a terrible slave taskmaster. He's no friend of yours, dear friend. Don't you believe that for a moment. He's no friend of yours. He desires nothing but your damnation and your eternal destruction. Not just to destroy you physically. And how many he destroys physically. The many people, their health's broken, their marriages are broken, their homes are broken, their business are broken and wrecked. All because of Satan and sin. But he's not content with that. He desires to bring you down to a lost sinner's hell. This is the worst of slavery. The worst kind of slavery. And I have to tell you tonight that if you're not saved, you're the devil's slave. But you know what the sad thing is? This slavery is entered into voluntarily by us. For thus saith the Lord to Israel, ye have sold yourselves for naught. Ye have sold yourselves. You've done it. You've done the deal. You've done the deed. You've sold yourselves into slavery. You've nobody to blame for it, only yourselves. So then, we have not only become slaves to sin and Satan by the actions of our first parents, and we have, but we have become the authors of our own bondage, because we choose to sin. We give ourselves to sin. We embrace sin. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves. No sin is forced upon any man. No sin is forced upon any man. No one is to blame for a man's sin but the man himself. We're responsible for it. We're not responsible for being tempted. We all can be tempted. Even the Lord was tempted, though he had no sin and did no sin. But he was tempted. There's no sin in being tempted. The sin is in yielding to the temptation. That's where the sin lies. And we sell ourselves by yielding to temptation. It's a choice we make. It's a choice of our will. We choose to sin. We choose sin over God and holiness and purity. We choose sin. Sin has some kind of strange draw, allurement to us. And we can blame nobody, only ourselves. We like to try and blame our sin on something or somebody else, don't we? We like to shift the blame. We say, I got into bad company. It's their fault. No, it's not. You shouldn't have got into bad company. You shouldn't have followed them in their sin. Well, you say, it's my environment. That's what people tell us. My environment. You know, I had a poor upbringing. I was brought up in not so good a home and this kind of thing. Well, that's sad. And, by the way, it is true that men's guilt is much diminished by circumstances, by their training and by their temperament. But all this does not change the fact that we ourselves have sold ourselves according to God's word. We choose to follow that path of sin. God wants you to realize that. You're guilty. Because listen, if you're not responsible for choosing sin, how can God judge you and condemn you? The fact that God will judge and condemn tells us that we had an option to sin or not to sin. For God will not judge us for something over which we have no control. God will not blame me because I can't fly. He hasn't given me wings to fly, and he's not going to condemn me because I can't fly. He's not going to condemn me for something that I can't do. Can't do. He doesn't condemn infants. All infants dying in infancy are born again by the Holy Spirit, working where and when and how he pleases, and are brought straight to glory because they're not responsible. They don't know to choose good or evil. So God doesn't condemn them. God is, they needed redeemed because they're members of Adam's fallen race, but they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. In other words, they had not willfully, deliberately, of their own choice, done anything wrong or knew what they were doing. And so God redeems them and forgives them and saves them and brings them to heaven. And so everyone who is not capable, whether they're infants or older, who are not capable of making judgments, they're all brought to glory. God doesn't hold us responsible. If God puts us in the stand in the judgment day and accuses us of sin and charges us with sin and condemns us for our sin, it's because we have chosen sin willfully and deliberately, done it. We've done it freely. And what did we gain? What do we gain by selling ourselves into this captivity and into this sin? Nothing. We think we will gain. We'll gain pleasure. We'll gain position. We'll gain wealth. We'll gain wealth and honor and all these sort of things. We think that's what we'll gain. But what do we gain? At the end of the day, we gain nothing. Sin does not bring rest to the weary soul. Sin does not bring peace to a wounded conscience. Sin cannot give hope in the article of death or to cheer the tomb. Sin gives us nothing. But it often brings, on the other hand, damage to health, damage to reputation, and a whole host of other things which we would rather not have and would be happy to do without. I think of the story of the white man buying Manhattan Island off the Native Americans, trying to be correct here, or the First Nations, as we should more politically correctly call them. The white man went and bought Manhattan Island. Now, you know, New York's built on Manhattan Island. You try to buy that now, I'll tell you, you don't have enough. I don't care how rich you are. There's not a man in the world with enough money to buy Manhattan Island. It is of tremendous value. But do you know what the white man paid the Native Indian for? A handful of glass beads. And those poor people, when they saw the beads, were mesmerized by the beads. They thought there was something valuable and worth having. And they gave away Manhattan Island for a handful of beads. They wouldn't do it now. And so we give away our liberty. We give away our freedom. We give away our hope of heaven for a handful of beads. For the glitter of sin and the things it will bring. Oh, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? though you gain the whole world for your own. Even now it may be, dear friend, that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? We sell ourselves ultimately and literally for nothing. For nothing. And we realize that at the end of the day. How many there are in this world around us? We hear them all the time in the news and the papers and television and radios. People who have made it, supposedly, in this world. They've got fame. They've got fortune. They've got all these things that money can buy. But what have they got at the last? Nothing. And they die. And they leave it all behind. Rather, they're taken from it. They're like the rich man who said, oh, my ground has brought forth so much fruit, I've nowhere to bestow my goods. I know what I'll do. I'll build barns, bigger and better barns, and I sort it up. And I say to my soul, soul, take your ease. You've much laid up for many years. That's what they say. But then one day God says, thou fool. Thou fool. Thou fool. This day thy soul shall be required of thee. Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if indeed he gains the whole world? You'll never do it, but what if you did? What would it profit you? Nothing. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and at the last lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would those native Indians give now for Manhattan Island? They couldn't raise sufficient funds. And my friend, if you lose your soul in the lost sinner's hell, a great ransom will not redeem you or deliver you. Oh, we're all born slaves to Satan, but we sell ourselves out. We sell ourselves for a moment or two, a day or two, a year or two of sin and sinful pleasure. And what sin will bring to us in this world. We sell ourselves for it. And we don't realize the value of the soul. We don't realize the value of the soul. But the devil does. And you know what he gives you? He gives you glass beads that are worth nothing. That's how it is with you. If you're not saved tonight, you're the servant, the slave, the bond slave of Satan and of sin. And your life of sin will not profit you. But you'll be the loser if you die in that state. For you lose everything. You lose your soul for all eternity. But bless God, there is freedom to be had from this captivity, from this slavery. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. There is redemption. We can be bought out of the slave market of sin. That's the word redeem indicates that. It's to go into the slave market and pay the price of a slave and buy them out of the slave market. Aye, and set them free. And you can be set free tonight. You can be bought out of the slave market of sin. There's freedom to be had from this cruel bondage. And it's unbought by you. You shall be redeemed without money. Just as we gain nothing by our bondage, so we need give nothing to be delivered from it. As Israel did not pay Cyrus for their freedom, neither has a sinner to pay God anything for his redemption, for his salvation. It's a free gift. It's a gift by grace. Jesus has paid the price of our redemption. His precious blood. He took our place. He died in our stead. He took our sins upon Him. He took the debt that we owed to God upon Him. And He paid the price. He paid it. Wiped the slate clean. And now He offers liberty and freedom to Satan's captives, to all who will but believe in Him, trust Him as their Savior. Flee from their own notions of saving themselves by personal merit, or personal works, or personal doings, and cast themselves upon Him, the only Savior of sinners, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, the one who died on the cross and bore our sin and our shame and our sorrow, and who offers us absolute, perfect justification from all sin and reconciliation to God through the merits of His blood. Offers to make us children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and to give us an eternity of bliss, an eternity of glory when life's over. And it's all free. He offers it free to all. Salvation full at highest cost to Himself. He offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Oh, there is deliverance from the slavery. You can be redeemed. You can be set free. You can be emancipated. You can be brought out of the devil's kingdom and out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you have nothing to pay. All you have to do is receive it by faith. Believe it. Free. The gospel is referred to as being free. Paul in Romans talks about a free salvation. Now, you don't pay anything. If a thing's free, you don't pay anything. If you even pay one penny for a thing, it is not free to you. You've paid something. But salvation is absolutely free. You don't have a penny to pay. It's not only that, but Paul calls it a gift, a free gift, a gift by grace. Grace means undeserved. And so, though we don't deserve this wonderful ransom, we don't deserve this great deliverance, we don't deserve this wonderful salvation, we don't deserve to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be brought at last to heaven, to be made heirs of God and joined heirs with Christ, we don't deserve that. But salvation is free to all. Free to those who do not deserve it. And none of us deserve it. You don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But God will give this salvation to you tonight. If you do but realize your folly, that you have sold yourself into sin, and if you repent of that sin and desire to be salvation, to be saved, you desire salvation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. There's the invitation. And God says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He says to the angels, don't stop any poor, thirsty sinner coming to the waters. Let him come. He says to the church, don't stop any poor sinner coming to the waters. Let them come. He says to all and sundry, don't stop them, let them come, let them come. But Lord, they're taking the water of life and they're paying nothing for it. It's free, leave them alone, let them have it. And the Lord will give it to you tonight, if you trust Him. And He'll set you wonderfully and gloriously free. Give you the victory over the world, the flesh and the devil. Change your life. And more importantly, change your eternity. When life's over, you'll go to be with Christ, which is far, very far, better. Oh, may you come to Him tonight. May you realize your folly in selling yourself into sin. And may you grasp the redemption in Christ that is freely offered to you in the gospel. for his dear name's sake. Amen.